All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to the inaugural face-to-face meeting for SIPCOR. I'd like to start out with a quick reminder that we need a lot of eyeballs on draft IETF SIPCOR SEC flows. For those of you who don't remember, we've been working on this document for, what, 5, 6 years now? And we just had a new rev come out that we believe addresses the previous issues we had had with the generated certs, but we haven't had a single comment on it on the list. So we need people to review SEC flows. You should all know what the note well means. You've seen this before. If you haven't, grab the sheet of paper that came with your materials when you checked in and read this. It means a handful of things about IPR that are probably important to you. Also, the sessions are being recorded, and they stay around forever. I also want to take a brief moment to remind people to read IETF SIPCOR SEC flows. So, blue sheets, Gonzalo's going to go ahead and get these started. Note takers, we would like to thank Avshalom and Eric for going ahead and taking up this task, although I do need a Jabber scribe. Who is in the Jabber room now? Oh, it can't be that sparse. Would you like to go ahead and just take, more importantly, information from people in the Jabber room to the microphone, but also taking notes about what's going on here? Thank you. Quick reminder, we need people to review draft IETF SIPCOR SEC flows. So we're going over the agenda here. We've got Chris is going to come up and talk about the handful of issues left with this is the Keep Alive stuff. Francois is going to talk a bit about the history info and delivering request URI parameters. And then, target URI. And I'm going to go over some of the changes in 3265 BIS. Quick reminder, we do need people to look at draft after IETF SIPCOR SEC flows. So keep that in mind when you get back to your regular jobs. Take a few minutes. All right, do you want to do this? Okay. So these are all of our chartered milestones right now. We're going over the request URI parameters stuff today. The info package framework just finished last call yesterday. The comments have been kind of sparse, so I would encourage people to go ahead and continue to post comments on this. Do you have something to say?
I went ahead and sent in what I had. Because of the very busy week here at IETF, I don't feel like I got through with a thorough review. And given the nature of some of the things that I've found, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the message that I sent yet, I think I would encourage you to spot two or three very dedicated reviewers and give them a couple of weeks with this thing.
Okay. So I'll probably tap people offline, given that there are a number of people who I'm certain are interested in this but aren't present this morning. Let's see. We finished working group last call for the 199 work, the termination of early dialogues, and we're going to be pub-breaking that soon. Tomorrow, apparently. The location conveyance information, that's currently in working group last call. That working group last call ends next week, so this is another thing that I want to encourage people to go ahead and look at and make sure it fits their expectations and that there are no issues they can identify with it. The essential corrections first batch milestone, we're actually going to talk about that just a little bit on the next slide.
I would encourage people to look at location conveyance, but I think we've already got some issues on the list that we do need to have some thought. People need to give some thought to as well. So,
right. Well, this is working group last call. Presumably, based on the comments, we're going to get a final rev of the document that we put up for.
But we could do with a few more people, other than the old round of people, just trying to resolve the comments as well.
Okay. So the IETF SIPSEC flows, that needs some review. I'd like to encourage people to take some time to look at the e-tags extension. We actually sent that off for PubRec. There are a handful of comments that have come back from the IESG. that need to be addressed before we can actually put that out for publication. I intend over the next couple of weeks to put out some proposed text for how we might address those, and I'm going to need feedback on the list as to whether that's these proposed changes are solutions the working group thinks are appropriate. The throttling mechanism, there's been a little bit of mailing list discussion on this, not a whole lot, and this is actually very important for some of the work that the GeoProve guys are doing, so we do need to put more eyeballs on this one as well. We're all going to be talking about the Keep Alive mechanisms and 3265 BIS today, and the present scaling requirements has currently been pub-recked and is under evaluation by the area director. So we're making pretty good progress on all these milestones, especially the ones that were handed off to us from the SIP and SIPing working groups.
One thing to mention, actually, is that as you see, we haven't waited until our face-to-face meeting in order to advance that. So basically, if you want to keep track of what we're doing, please keep an eye on the mailing list. So we don't intend to work in this three-time cycle, you know, that we work three times a year, actually, before the meetings. We are actually moving things forward on the mailing list. So please, you know, keep an eye on it, review documents, and as you see, we're going to be working group last calling things, you know, between meetings. So just, you know, to stress that we will request face-to-face meeting only for the staff we need discussions. Otherwise, we try to do everything on the mailing list.
Okay, so a quick discussion here. We've actually raised this issue on the mailing list, but I want to get some feedback face-to-face. The essential corrections process. When we put this together originally, we were thinking there may be three or four little tweaks that we were making to the protocol on an annual basis, and then we'd bundle these up, you know, every 12, 18 months and send it up to the IISD for publication. Now, the actual frequency of documents that have been appropriate for the essential corrections process has been much less frequent than that. And one of the things that we've noticed is that we'll have documents come in and they'll progress through their maturity levels at radically different speeds. Sometimes the solution to a problem is dead obvious and we can basically put together a very short draft that says how to fix it. And sometimes it's a fairly complicated problem that we have to do several rounds on. So bundling those together obviously doesn't make sense because we're hanging the low-hanging fruit on the difficult problems. So we did call for feedback on the list as to whether we should abandon the essential corrections process and continue to operate as we did in the past, where we put individual documents up one by one as they are ready. And we had a little bit of feedback on the list. All of it seemed to be in favor of abandoning the essential corrections, but I'm not comfortable calling consensus on the basis of the light amount of traffic that we had there. So I do want to get at least the feeling of the people in this room here as to whether that's something we want to continue to pursue or if we should revert to progressing documents individually. And just one quick reminder, if you do get up to talk about this, we have a lot of remote participants this meeting. So be sure to speak clearly, speak into the microphone, and say your name slowly. Thanks.
Keith Troich. Obviously any draft can always go forward outside the process anyway, even if there was a process. So you're not precluded from sending things forward outside the essential corrections process and still getting an RFC for the individual change. What I think people should give some thought to is what they want to occur with the very small changes that would not really justify an RFC in their own right. Do they just want to not bother? Do they want something that they can roll a change into and actually not have to devote too much separate effort to it that would obviously be required by a separate RFC? Or do they just want to wait for a 3261 BIS or whatever, if it ever comes? So basically, that's the three options you've got on the table for the very small changes. Obviously, we haven't had really that many changes at all being put forward at the moment, as you say. Thank you.
David Bryan.
Thank you.
I think that the fact that we're calling these essential corrections kind of answers the question. Since there are things that we all think are important to let the community know about, process delays just for process delay's sake don't seem to make sense. I mean, if it's done and it's ready, publish it.
Is no one else awake?
Oh, good.
funeralists. I really think we should, instead of continually building up this stack of additional documents that revise, correct, extend, and try and repair RFC 3261, we should just edit them back in and revise the RFC.
Actually, we explicitly said that. I mean, that's an orthogonal discussion. So, I mean, regardless of whether or not we do that, we have to decide right now, you know, what to do. So that's a perfectly valid discussion that we may have, you know, whenever you want. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to remind you that, you know, essential corrections is just a name. There is a definition of it in my draft, which is now expired, but you'll find it in the tools directory. So that definition obviously isn't sacrosanct, but it doesn't just mean it's essential to the community. It means a bit more than that. It's interoperability corrections and things like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Theo Zorzavillis. Everything Dean said, as well as let's just get the fixes out there, not bundle them all up together as quickly as possible. From the Jabber Room, John Elwell says, I agree with David Bryan.
John Peterson. So, yeah, I'm not sure we get a tremendous amount out of the essential corrections process. And I guess I believe that if we abandon it, however, it probably will lead to us doing some or another different thing. And I'm hesitant to say, yes, we should abandon this because I'm nervous of what that is actually going to end up entailing. I mean, if it all means we're going to do what we're doing anyway right now, which is putting out updates and things like that, then great. If it means we're going to embark on some vast, as Dean proposed, 3261
revising
process.
Okay. Let me clarify that, actually. I tried to address that on my original email to the list, but basically, yeah, it's good to clarify that. I mean, there's two things. One is, like, we have a set of drafts now that they will update 3261 or Adam 4. Well, yeah, that would be 3265. But anyway, let's focus on 3261. Which, you know, we may want to bundle together or progress individually. And that's the decision that we are making right now. A different one is what we do if, you know, edit, you know, the SIP spec or do SIP 3.0 or whatever. And that's a complete different discussion. So we're talking about the drafts you have in mind. Like, we have body handling. We're going to have very soon re-invite handling, the offer answer. We have invite fix. I mean, that kind of stuff, actually. Christer?
Yes, Chris Holm, but just to keep in mind, we also have, in one way or another, 3262 reliable responses, because we have a decision that we're going to fix this, you know, how to reject an offer in prac kind of thing, so we need to take that in. I mean, that's a decision we are somehow going to solve. I think I already, at one point, already had an initial essential correction draft for that. That didn't really move forward because I have had other things, but we need to have that draft in mind also. Yeah.
Okay, so I think, I mean, hearing all the input, we're going to go ahead is basically work on the few, I mean, three or four drafts we have as individual drafts, advance them separately, and then at some point in time, if we need to have the discussion on, you know, what we do, let's have it, but let's have a, you know, wider discussion. I mean, here we are deciding about this fairly small point. So we will proceed as suggested.
From a practical perspective, what that means is that over the next few weeks, you're going to see a call on the lists for changing the milestones to reflect the individual documents as opposed to having a monolithic essential corrections milestone. Okay, so just a real quick reminder that we do need people to review draft IETF SIP core SEC flows.
I mean, if you want to volunteer right now, drop an email to the chairs or to the list so that then, you know, you have committed already, and you cannot have second thoughts on that.
Well, actually, we're gonna call for dedicated reviewers here in this room. Sorry, Pete.
I wanted to come back to essential corrections. I just wanted to remind you that at least two of the documents had been through a full working group last call in SIP, and they were therefore defined as finished. So, my expectation is, yes, you're going to have to proto-write them from here, but you don't need to do any more work on them. They have been dealt with fully by a working group already.
Yeah, well, what we have done typically is point out that they were working group last called already and give people, you know, 1 week just in case, you know, they have comments or just to have a look at it. But, yeah, we don't intend to repeat all the working group last calls. Yeah, that's a good point. So we were gathering volunteers.
So I want hands and people who are listening to the audio stream participating in the Jabber Room. Just because you're not here doesn't mean I'm not looking you straight in the eye. Who is willing to do a dedicated review of this document? Oh, thank you very much.
Ben Campbell.
What? Oh,
Bob,
Ben. Yeah.
Bob Moscovitz.
So could I ask a different question while Mary's on the way to the mic? Could I ask a different question? It's Robert. Do we need to publish this thing? Can we just shoot it in the head?
Speaking as an individual, I think this is useful for the implementation community.
Yeah, I'm happy. I think that's true, but you know, if the group doesn't think it's important enough to volunteer to review it, I mean,
in SIPIN we've been working with three dedicated reviewers, so getting two on a draft is not a bad thing. Mary?
Yeah. Well, the problem is you have to remember that when you have three, you're almost always going to have one that doesn't come through. But that's okay. But so, you know, one suggestion, and this may be more annoying than helpful, would be maybe do an early security director review on this. Because I'm concerned, because it's got security in the title, that once it gets over there, it could be really picked apart. Just a suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that.
Keith Drage. So just a summary of the history of this. I mean, basically, the reason why it's been hanging around so long is because essentially, we were waiting for someone to write down some things that actually automatically generated the certificates. And I believe what you got now is the version that does that. Is that correct?
Hey, it's only 59 pages long. What's the problem?
And most of that is a TAR archive. Yes, Ken, yeah. What you said...
Well, in particular, just to maybe incite some more people to review the draft, the big hang-up was actually feedback from the security area that we needed to make sure that the spec reflected what our own RFCs said. And there was a little bit of a disconnect between what OpenSSL does, which is what was used to generate a lot of the sample messages in the draft, and what our RFCs say. So we had to go learn how to whack OpenSSL around to make it do what the RFCs say. And that turned out to be difficult. And the vast amount of intervening time, OpenSSL caught up in their options inside some of the packages that you can compile it to where it can do what we needed it to do for this draft, which facilitated finally getting it out.
Yeah. But am I right in saying that what we have now is basically a draft where the certificates are generated by some program that Ecker wrote, who's our security advisor? Is he still?
It's not Ecker. But
it's not Ecker, but...
Yeah, and it's not even Ecker's patch at this point. It's actually stuff straight out of OpenSSL. But the important part of what you said is that the messages in the draft are output from a program, not something that a human handcrafted.
So what we're actually looking for is a review that those certificates have actually gone in the right places in SIP messages and things like that, correct?
And that they have the right... the right choices were made in populating certain fields with certain values. Not that the technical implementation was correct, but that the guidelines that we have in the rest of our drafts were followed correctly.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to follow through is we need, you know, particular types of reviewers for this reason, and I don't think it's just necessarily security reviewers as a result.
Yes.
Yeah.
William Rimwater? Robert just said that we need to care for the layout. Is it in fact the thing that we shall get a content of the certificate? Did you mean that? What values we populate with what common name and that like stuff? Getting a unique content of the certificate. Is this one of these issues you just mentioned?
Yeah, primarily from this group, the review should be looking to make sure that we populated things like subject alt name correctly.
Right. Okay.
So not to make sure that OpenSSL signed the certificate correctly, right. But I wouldn't object if somebody checked that, but that's not really what we're looking for.
Okay, so we rather shall pick the right content and the right elements we really populate in this certificate, so need to populate.
Right.
Good.
Right. I mean, what would be ideal? I mean, what I would love to see in a review is we have an implementation and we've tested the certs you put in the document and they work for us, or and this field here is set incorrectly, or something along those lines. But even just a high level, I understood this document and I went and hand verified some of the fields and they all look good to me, would be very strong.
The high level is okay, but the major problem with, for example, our application as well is what is really essential and what to use. And this is something I never read out of this document, so because you could take any template to populate a certificate, and what are the essential musts and not must-haves.
And yeah, that is exactly part of what this document's supposed to clarify, and it points back into some work that Scott and BJ have been working on to get more clarity around that.
Okay, then.
I mean, yeah.
You'll get something from me as well.
And I mean, instead of discussing the document real quick here, I mean, send your comments to the list. That'd be great. Really, really great.
I'm sorry, was that another volunteer for dedicated review? I didn't hear what you said right there at the end.
Then you'll get something from me as well with our view on what shall be in the certificates and how they shall be used.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Keith. Yeah. Keith. So just Keith Drage, one last comment. I mean, basically, it's also valid to comment to say what you've actually provided in this format is not helping me with my implementation. So.
Right.
So we can go down to that fundamental level. It's been hanging around a long time, but it's not really had fundamental comments of that sort. And if you've got those comments, please make them.
Right. This will be an important direction if we can figure that out. Because the technology, how to use it, is clear, but we have no consensus whatever shall be used as a default.
Krister? Yeah, we're running a little behind the schedule. We have 45 minutes of padding at the end, so I'm not really going to hurry people up in particular right now.
One, two, three.